You're listening to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs on Sirius XM 131. Where did you come up with this message? Title, I should say.
The title? I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I don't know, but I love it.
I do too. Soul Food Jesus Style Part 2.
Yeah, soul food, right? Soul.
Yeah.
Jesus Style. You know, I don't know. When I put that title down, when I thought of that title and doing this message, I know that I had been in New Orleans area. And I think that actually affected me because I saw so many displays about soul food and things like that. But then, of course, obviously, Jesus is saying clearly the words that he's speaking are for your soul, the bread of life, right? The life-giving source of his blood for our salvation. And it just made perfect sense to me that if we were going to eat the best food ever, so to speak, it would be the food that Jesus serves up. So it'd be his style. And what kind of effect would that be? Well, it certainly wouldn't be for the flesh because that perishes. It'd be for the soul, you know?
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it's kind of fun. Stuff. Kind of fun.
Hey, can I refer back a couple of days ago? We talked about, I'm just going to throw this name out there, Charles Spurgeon.
Sure.
He's one of my favorite preachers of all time. He's a hero of mine. He's a hero of yours. You're actually the guy that turned me on to Charles Spurgeon.
Well, and then you turned around and you did a TV rendering of Charles Spurgeon's devotions. I remember that. I
think
it aired
wild?
On TBN many years ago.
So you threw this out there a couple of days ago. Spurgeon was talking about the sovereignty of God and the responsibility of mankind.
Yep.
He says, "I've never tried to reconcile it. I just believe it."
Amen.
Man, that guy had a way of putting things.
Well, he is a master craftsman of the English language for sure and a great student of the Bible. And look, you know, you can't get more simple than that. I'm grateful that my pastor, Chuck Smith, that's exactly how he taught us. We try to figure out everything, right? We always try to figure out everything. And I believe now that God has built into life things that cannot be figured out for us to trust him. You know, we can't figure out why a 3-year-old kid gets cancer. We can't figure that out. We can't figure out why 1 month after this young couple gets married, the husband is killed in a car crash. We cannot figure that out. But God says everything to those who are called, who love the Lord, it's all working together for good. I can't understand that, but I believe it because he said it.
We're talking about John chapter 6, verses 38 through 40 today. Let's jump in. This is Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs on Sirius XM 131.
I ask you, Lord, that you would take your word and drive it home to our hearts this morning, that for the time that we have together, that we would not be the same. And Lord, the only way that that's going to happen is if you anoint us to not only proclaim your truth, but to receive it and put into action. So, Father, we ask now that your Holy Spirit would baptize us to be faithful students and doers of your word. For we ask it, Lord, in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. So grab your Bibles, if you would, and turn to John chapter 6. This morning, John chapter 6, and we're going to pick up where we left off last time in verses 37 to 59. The title of the message this morning is Soul Food, Jesus Style. And we started this last time, and we didn't get through, as you know, though we tried. But this morning, by God's grace, we will complete this study. We're looking at 6 key points to our study this morning, and we hit 1 and 2 last time together. And just by way of recap, let's hit on a few of those things right now together, shall we? Number 1 last week was found in verse 37, and that we are to rest in the divine report. If you remember that God has given us a divine report, and that divine report stands, listen, it stands like a rock of Gibraltar, a granite pillar that states, Jesus said that all that the Father gives him will come to him, and no one who comes to Christ will ever be cast off or turned away. And so we see that we are to rest in the divine report that salvation comes through Jesus Christ. And in that, we saw that we are invited to come into the family of God, that we are to enter into the family of God. We saw that in verse 37 when he said, the Father, very, very important. Jesus is inviting us to experience the family of God in this relationship where we are commanded, encouraged, challenged by Christ to call God Father. And then we saw last time also that when we do come to Christ, he keeps us in the family of God. There's the keeping power of God. And we'll study more about that next time as we look into this verse, really as we conclude this study this morning. But we live in a time where there's a lot of insecurity concerning the Christian faith. It ought not to be. But personally, I think that we as believers need to study more the Word of God, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God will be stronger in what we believe. We'll realize that Jesus is committed to keeping us in the family. Very important. But we also remember that the Scripture teaches us that when we come to Christ, we are sealed in the hand of Jesus and in the hand of the Father. And this keeping power is in effect in the life of every believer if we've understood and come to receive this divine report, the divine promise. We saw that last time together. So we're to be putting our faith in Jesus Christ. And I want to ask you this morning, have you put your faith in Jesus Christ? Have you accepted that divine report from the Lord? Where the Bible stands, and it's so wonderful to be able to hold this up with confidence, that this book, without error, it's perfect. That this book that has been kept by God for us to have has weathered the storms of scrutiny and of criticism. And yet every year, Christian, do you remember this? Are you aware of this? Every year that goes by, the Bible is more and more clear. It's incredible. Every time there's another prophetic fulfillment already mentioned in the Bible, when it comes to pass in our life, in our time, that's one more great stamp of acceptance, not only by God to us, but by us concerning the Scripture, that God fulfills His Word. It's a wonderful, emboldening thing in our life. So do you have faith in Jesus Christ? Only you can answer that. You know right now in the inside of your own heart and your own reason if you have faith in Jesus Christ. Number two, we saw verses 38 to 40 that we are to enjoy the divine relationship, that there's a divine relationship given to us. Jesus said in verse 38, "For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but do the will of him who sent me." The Father sent Jesus into the world to save us. That divine relationship speaks of the fact that the Father thinks wonderful things about us. We saw that in verse 38, that we are to enjoy what the Father thinks about us. You know, he thinks great thoughts about you. Isn't that amazing? It's awesome. Positive thoughts. We saw that in Psalm 139 and in Jeremiah 29, where God's thoughts toward us are for the future, for good. Then we saw in verse 39 that we are to enjoy the Father's heart of protection. Like any good father, we saw last time that the Father wants to protect us. We saw also in verse 40 that we're to enjoy a certain future. We have a great future ahead of us. You know that? Isn't it awesome? We're going to heaven. Man, do you ever forget that as a believer? I mean, we're to be Christ conscious all the time. But I tell you, there's times when it just leaves my memory. It leaves my thinking. And then it dawns on me, we're going to heaven. Isn't it great? This world is not it. Try to convince that to a teenager, you know? This world's not all there is. Oh, Dad, I'm sure. No, this world's, it's going away. No. Hey, we're going to heaven. If you've put your faith, your trust in Jesus, you're going to heaven. And I can't wait for that to happen. Now, listen. Some of you are young. I understand. You're thinking, man, I don't want to go to heaven yet. It's just, this world's too good, man. There's so much ahead of me. Yeah, and that's great, and that's good, and you go for it, you know, and follow God with all your heart, and he's going to bless your life. That's great, but there's one thing better, and that's for us to go home now and be with Jesus. Man, if the rapture came, not the drink, but the trumpet, say, yeah, are they going to serve raptures during service? No, but it could be any moment that the Lord serves up his rapture, and man, we go home to be with the Lord. How wonderful that's going to be. I went water skiing this week. I tell you, it's so fun. I love that. I love it. But you know what? It's been a while since I've been. And I tell you, the next morning I got out of, I woke up. I didn't have to get out of bed. I woke up. And you know what I had for breakfast? I had Advil for breakfast. I was just eating those things, probably blowing my kidneys up. It didn't matter though. I couldn't move. What good are kidneys when you can't move? My legs were killing me. My arms were killing me. And then it dawned on me, this is the worst, but I'm going to heaven. I'm going to heaven. This carcass is fading quickly. And man, this week reminded me of that, of how quick it's fading. But you know, you get up in the morning and you try to dress your body and get it all spiffed up for church. And I don't know, guys, are you like me? I'm finding that I'm spending more money on stronger smelling colognes laced with formaldehyde, you know, as I get older. It's like, man, put more on. Why? We're all rotting. We are decaying. We are rotting. It's true. But man, I tell you, the awesome thing is we're going to heaven. He's got a great future lined up for us. We need to be thinking about that. We need to be meditating on that more and more. And Jesus said in verse 40, not only do we have heaven in our hearts, but he has given us eternal life, it says there, and that he will raise us up in the last day. Promised resurrection of life, that we're to enjoy a certain future. Which now brings us to number three in our points, totally, there are six of them. Now we come to three, and that is this, as we enter into our study right now. Verses 41 to 47, it's this, that we are to know the divine realization. Jot that down in your note-taking. We are to know the divine realization. It is God's will that you know what his plan is for your life. This is what God wants us to know. So, Jack, I want to know that. Why doesn't he just write it in the sky? Why don't I just know this automatically? Because the Bible tells us, listen, this is good theology that you're going to get very inexpensively here right now. The Bible teaches us that in God's mind, we were saved, past tense, before the world was ever created, in God's mind. Now, you and I have a hard time with that, but that's just tough. That's the way it is. God says, God knows in his mind, we were saved before the world was ever created. Number two, the Bible teaches us that we are being saved by the working power of the Holy Spirit. Say, what? Yeah, God is working out right now in your life a true salvation, okay? Then the Bible promises us that we are going to be saved in the end. Say, well, which is it? It's all three. We are saved because we are saved in time and eternity past. He is working out our practical salvation right now because you know what? You and I have never lived today, have we? He's working it out now in our lives. You and I, we're concerned about this time right now. Thus, we wear watches because we all want to know what time it is. But God's not bound by time. But right now, he's working out in our lives a practical salvation. He wants to communicate through you to the world that God rules and reigns in your heart and that Jesus loves the church and that the church is a light to the world, pointing people, lost people, to the saving power of God. And then thirdly, in the end, when it's all over, we're going to be saved. So the beautiful thing is we take rest. Man, I tell you, we take a great rest and a great peace. We realize where we are with God. How do we do this? Number one, verses 41 to 42, we know what we believe. We know what we believe about Jesus Christ. Do you? Do you know what you believe about him? It says in verse 41, the Jews, that is the ruling Jews, that is the religious leaders, not the Jewish people. Don't get that. Don't take that wrong. It doesn't mean just the common people. When it says with the definite article, the Jews, it is the religious hierarchy of Judaism. The Jews then complained about him. Don't you wish it said they complained to him? How many people complain about you, but they don't complain to you? They complain about you to everybody else, but never you. Hi, how are you? Fine. And then they turn their back on you and vroom, you know? They're doing it to Jesus. So don't feel so bad, okay? They did it to Jesus. It says that the Jews then complained about him because he said, quote, I am the bread which comes down from heaven. That's right. That's what he said. That's what Jesus says. Well, watch how they handle it. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he answered and how is it that he says, I've come down from heaven? Well, first of all, know this. Know what you believe about Jesus. They didn't. Everybody listen, was he Mary's little lamb? Was he Mary's baby boy? Yes. But was he Joseph's son? No. The Bible said, in fact, Joseph received the news from the angel in the Christmas story. Joseph, don't panic about taking Mary to be your wife because she's pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Joseph knew this. Joseph would have been the first to say, hey, according to the flesh, he's not my boy. He's the Son of the Most High. He's 100%, listen, he's 100% God. He's 100% human. That's the definition of Savior, Messiah, the Christ. No man can die for us. Did you know that? No man can die for us to take away our sins. Why? Because every man is a sinner. Right, ladies? Every man's a sinner. The Bible says there are no good men. By the way, it's mankind. There are none. There are no good women. There are no good men. Well, you mean I came here to get offended by you this morning on this? Yeah, it's true. Listen, the Bible says that there are none that does good. No, not one. None of us. That's why God would not accept a very, very, very good person dying for mankind. It's unacceptable. It had to be God. The Creator died for his fallen creation. That's how valuable you are. But that's how much he loves you. It's incredible. It's wonderful. He died for you. And what do you know about Jesus? Do you know enough about him to defend what it is you believe? Can you say to the man or the woman on the street, I'm a Christian, and this is the reason why? Ladies and gentlemen, friends and family, listen, right here, I'm begging with you right now. I, according to God, I have this thing that I'm commanded to do by the Lord. And that is to convey to you the truth in such a way that my hands are free of your blood in the day of judgment, according to the book of Ezekiel. That means this. Do you know Jesus? That is, do you know him as the way, the truth, and the life? Jesus said, and no man comes to the Father but through him. Do you know that there is no other way of salvation but through the risen Christ who died on the cross 2,000 years ago? That you can't be good enough, you can't be rich enough, you can't be poor enough, you can't be bad enough. There is no pity on God's side, and there is no generosity on God's side outside of the cross. It's the cross that causes and allows God to show forth his love to all of mankind, from Mother Teresa to Mussolini. It doesn't matter that we all must come by way of the cross. If we act wonderful in our outward life, we still have to deal with our motives, don't we? And if we don't deal with our motives, then we have to still deal with the imaginations of our heart. We are sinners. But the beautiful thing, and listen, the beautiful thing about those of you in this room who can agree with yourself and with God, I am a sinner. I've broken one or few or all of the Ten Commandments. I've broken the law of God. I have lied or I've exaggerated. I've cheated. I've lusted. If you can agree with God in your heart right now, then you know what, my friend? You're in a good place because you qualify to be saved. You know, there's people that cannot do that. They say, well, I'm better than my neighbor. They may be, but are they perfect? Well, you know what? I come from royal blood, you know. Well, that's great. But can it save you? It cannot save you. But what do you know about Jesus? These guys complained about Jesus. The word complain, by the way, is a great word in Greek. It's gargudzo. Doesn't that sound like a complaint? Go file your gargudzo. Get a gargudzo form and deal with it. It means to whine, to grumble, to murmur, to protest against something at great expense. Ooh, to protest against something at a great expense. Whose expense, I wonder, but their own. You realize that? Listen, Jesus has been here. He's here in the Spirit, and he's coming back. You believing in him or not is not going to change that. And that gives me a great deal of pleasure to say that.
Well, I don't believe.
Well, you know, that's your choice, huh?
That's right. It's my choice.
Then are you willing to receive the ramifications of your choice? In other words, are you going to be responsible for your own decisions?
Well, wait a minute.
See, that's the perverse culture we live in today.
I want choice. I want freedom. I want to do it.
Okay, then answer for those choices in the end. Oh, really? Oh, yeah. Answer for them, because you will. If you don't want God, don't worry about it. Jesus is going to address that in a moment. He's not going to bend your arm. But you know what? You can murmur and complain all you want. It's not going to change the truth. That's the fun part. In 1 Peter 3:15, Peter there begs with the believer to know what they believe. Can you defend what you believe? Peter says that you and I need to always be ready to give an answer to every man for the reason, for the hope that lives, that dwells within us. And we're to answer them with respect and with meekness. When somebody comes up and says, why are you a Christian? You ought to be able to say, well, listen, friend, I'll tell you why. And you're to give them intelligent reasons. Not, this does not count. Well, it just feels good. It feels right, you know. No, you're to say, are you aware, my friend, that the Bible foretold that Jesus was going to come into the world? Are you aware that Jesus actually lived, that he actually died, he was truly crucified, and that there's an empty tomb in Jerusalem, he rose again from the dead, and that since that time, just on the fact alone that there are billions of people who have been converted to Christ in the last 2,000 years speaks of his spiritual presence in the world today? Are you aware, and you can go off all day long until they say, okay, I'm convinced, shut up, I know, okay, now I see. Man, when God allows us the opportunity to share about Jesus to others, I mean, there's no time limit. Or do you not know what to say? Oh man, I worry about you. If you don't know what to say, if you don't know what you believe about Jesus, you're in a grave and serious place. These people murmured. They complained. They were baffled about what he was saying. Number two about this, verses 43 to 45, we're to know why. Not only what, but why we believe in Jesus. Therefore, it says, Jesus answered and said to them, do not murmur among yourselves. Hang on to your seats now. Verse 44, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. And I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, he's quoting Isaiah 54 right now, they shall all be taught of God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Oh, listen to verses 43 to 45. This is very serious. When Jesus says in verse 44, no one comes to the Father, or no one comes to me, excuse me, unless the Father draws him. Are you ready for this? This is a sarcasm by Jesus to the unbelieving audience. It's a sarcasm. They're complaining, right? They're murmuring and griping and whining. They're whining to their own damage. Jesus says, calm down. Don't murmur. You can stop. Oh, really? Why? Because no one's going to come to me and follow me unless the Father draws them to me. Do you hear what he's saying? We do this with people, especially kids. Whatever you do, Don't taste this pie. It's the worst pie you've ever had. Don't get near it. Those chocolate chip cookies, they'll kill you. Stay away from them. You tell that to a kid, what are they going to do? They're going to dive headfirst into the chocolate chip cookies. They're going to go right into them. Jesus is saying, listen, calm down. Nobody's going to follow me unless the Father brings those people to me. It's obvious by your murmuring and your complaining that you're not going to follow me. And the reason why you're not going to follow me is because my Father's not drawing you to me. Do you hear that? Do you get it? Ooh, this hurts. It hurts if you're listening. The people who are not being drawn to Jesus are saying, Jack, when are you going to stop? I don't really care about Jesus. I just want to go home. I don't really care what the Bible says. You're not being drawn by the Father. The Bible says many are called, but few are chosen. In other words, the invitation goes out to the world, but only a few people in the grand scheme of time go to heaven. Well, what does that mean? It means if you want, listen, answer this question where you're sitting right now. If you want Jesus, the only way that you can want Jesus is if the Father is drawing you to Jesus. If you don't want him, don't whine about it anymore. Well, you Christians are going to convert the world. No, we're not. Those who God is calling will come. Those who he's not calling will not come. So you can relax. The people who are going to heaven are going to heaven because God has called them. The people who are going to hell are going there because God has not called them. So wait a minute. What if I want to go to heaven? If you want to go to heaven, then God's calling you. People who are deciding on their own sovereign will to go to hell, they don't want anything to do with God. They don't want anything to do with Jesus. We covered that last week in part one of this message. God is sovereign, but he has engineered into every man and woman the ability of choice and the ramifications of choice. It's your choice. The Bible makes it very clear that God sends nobody to hell, but he invites the world to come to heaven. It's your choice. Know why you believe. Know what you believe. Thank you.
And this is Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs on Sirius XM 131. I want to tell you about our YouTube channel. Pastor Jack has over 500 videos on YouTube, lots of content there. Just go to YouTube and search Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Really, anything Pastor Jack wants to share with us online, right there at YouTube, all kinds of content. Go check that out. I'm David J. for Pastor Jack. We'll see you next time. In the meantime, tell someone you love that you listen to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs on Sirius XM 131.